We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Football Report. I'm here with Hassan, as always. How's it going?
You know, man, living the dream. Another Sunday in the NFL. Everyone's on mega tilt because of how unpredictable these slates are now. But you know, I mean, that's just the way it goes. This is the NFL. It's week 10. What did you think it was going to be? You know, I mean, that's the thing. I think people forget like how not clean the NFL is.
Yeah. Yeah, get used to the unpredictability. It's not something to complain about. It's something to embrace and to benefit from. I mean, we can just get right into it. One of the things we benefited from on one of our teams that we managed together with Pat and Pete and Ben, this Ramondre Stevenson explosion. 20 rushes for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. You saw it coming. You put Stevenson in at the last minute and maybe is going to propel our team to a victory this week. So, I mean, what drew you to Stevenson? I know it was looking like Brandon Bolden might be a popular play. JJ Taylor was rumored to be starting the game.
So the dirty little secret here about fantasy football is a lot of people who are out there on Twitter touting about all these like dusty old guys don't know what they're doing. like if you had watched preseason or watched a little bit of what Ramondre has been doing, at least on his limited snaps, there's a reasonable expectation that he's still an explosive player, that you want to put him in your lineups, even if he's not going to play like 100% of the snaps. Like, again, this is like the modern day NFL. Like, it's like very few running backs get that level of usage. And we because of the way we draft and because of the kind of like the profiles that we're interested in guys like Stevenson. So when everything works out, it works out like this. Like he just massively goes off. I just thought that he was a much better play than any of our alternatives that includes guys like Rondale Moore, Chase Claypool, who's out, Mecole Hardman, who's possibly a drop candidate as well. I was just not going to be putting Michael Gallup into my lineups just because, one, Gallup is coming off, you know, a major injury that he suffered back in week 1, and that we didn't see him. It was supposed to be 3 to 5 weeks. We didn't see him for 9 weeks. And two, like, I'm legitimately surprised that they targeted him as much as they did, given that, you know, like Atlanta showed literally nothing. I also am on the record stating that I think Gallup is, you know, pretty much like the wide receiver 3 or 4 over there. Like, I think he's kind of a mediocre talent anyway. So like, you just aren't going to convince me to plug him in when Ramondre Stevenson doesn't have Damian Harris to contend with. I think this probably has changed a lot of the Stevenson narrative, right? Like, you can see him forcing a way in to this role going forward. He's going to probably, in my opinion, play this kind of Rex Burkhead role that like this offense sorely needs. And he kind of adds like this extra level of dynamicism. And I think I said that wrong. So, but he adds that to this offense. That's something that like the Patriots really really haven't shown much. I mean, Damian Harris is kind of a blotter back anyway. I wanted to get your thoughts. Like, what do you think? Because you were the one, you know, because you and I basically kind of upbid each other and spent like 70% of our available FOB on him. And here we and here we get to start him at the right time. So what are your thoughts here on Ramondre?
Well, my thoughts at the time when we decided to spend so much on him was that he would get that James White role that has been so valuable in New England. And that kind of never really materialized until, I mean, even today, it didn't really, like, he only got this role because Harris was out. And I mean, he had 5 targets, but yeah, he definitely showed, at least today, that he was more of a pass catching back than Harris is. So there's some hope that even when Harris returns, that James White role will still be one that Stevenson kind of falls into anyway. It's more than just pass catching, because, you know, with James White, they would leave him in short yardage situations and goal line situations and let him get those touchdowns too. So it's like more valuable than just, you know, third down back.
Or negative script back, right? Like, he really is going to be like Rex Burkhead in that regard, right? Because I know a lot of people like Brandon Bolden, but that's also probably because I'm looking this up right now. I don't want to be wrong here. Yeah, because Brandon Bolden's a dusty veteran, right? Like, that's why, because people know the name, they recognize it. So they're like, oh, he's going to be the boring guy. No, he saw less targets than Ramondre and far less work, right? Maybe just a bad talent is just a guy who's, I mean, he's not because he's a bad talent because he's stuck around in the NFL this long, but he is who he is. It's not like he is a guy like Raheem Mostert or a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson who has this next level skill set that you need to be worried about. You know, he's been with the Patriots since 2012, since he was a UDFA. And there's nothing that suggests that there's any other team that wants him, which, you know, also suggests that he is who he is. It's not like Raheem Mostert or CPAT, who has this like legitimate calling card skill that required a coach and the right circumstances to unlock going forward. And with Ramondre, we did see a lot of, like, you know, negative coach speak, a lot of the coaches saying he shouldn't, or he's not ready, or whatever. And it's just sort of like, well, this is a great coaching job you guys are doing. Bang up job. maybe, you know, so it is interesting, because I do think this is going to be, you know, if you've been enjoying plugging in Damian Harris, you know, as sort of this, like, you know, set and forget RB2, it's time to start doing the forgetting and time to start scouring the waivers, because Ramondre is going to be taking a lot of that work.
So would you want to start Stevenson next week, assuming Harris is back?
That's a good question. And this is where I'm going to actually throw it back to you, because I wanted to follow it up with Cordarrelle Patterson's dud. He only had 4 rush attempts for 25 yards, and he only had 2 targets. He caught one of those for 14 yards. So, like, do you think, like, because CPAT's the other running back on this team that we're going to be choosing between. So I wanted to get your thoughts. Although I will add, this is a modified zero RB team. So we have other wide receivers in play, but I wanted to get your thoughts here on CPAT and what do you think we should be doing there?
So it's interesting. Next week, these two teams will play each other, actually, the Falcons and the Patriots. And we kind of saw, you know, in a game we all expected D'Ernest Johnson to explode, the Patriots really were able to kind of stop the Browns from doing anything. And I mean, you know, the Browns offense has not looked that explosive throughout the year, but then neither have the Falcons. So it's almost the sort of case where you expect to see more points on the New England side. And then, you know, Stevenson can benefit from a touchdown. So That's a tricky question. I'm not sure I'm ready to, if I had to choose between those two guys, I think I would still lean Patterson in a vacuum, just because we know he's getting the opportunity. He's getting all the targets. But yeah, Stevenson looked good. So
I think I'm with you. I mean, Dearness Johnson looked explosive today. He really was the Browns' offense.
Mm-hmm.
He almost had 100 yards rushing, about 60, 70 yards receiving. You got to feel bad for the Browns, man. Like poor Baker, like he just like got completely lit up. This was not happening. And he's playing through so much right now. Conversely, Jarvis Landry, not particularly great. Just not really he is who we thought he would be, you know, like just sort of this unspectacular kind of guy.
He's way worse than we thought he would be.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like at this point, you know, dealing with an MCL sprain and age and everything else, like this is just kind of what you expect, right? They don't have particularly much talent there.
I expected him to come in and, give you kind of Robert Woods type production at a seventh round cost. And I mean,
well, he has been. They've both been kind of zeros.
Yeah, right. I hesitate to say I was hoping he would give Cooper Kupp kind of production at a round seven cost, because Kupp has been so outstanding. But, you know, going into the season, it's like you look at Kupp, you look at Woods, you look at Landry. Are these guys really that different? Is the question. And obviously, the results have been very different. So maybe they were.
I think they kind of are, though, right? Like Kupp might just have, like, I mean, the fact that he's not injured is a big thing. and I think just having like the way the coach attacks the way they scheme the offense is a little bit different than what the Browns do. The Browns really believe in this run to set up the pass nonsense. They love this like heavy personnel, three tight end
run to set up more running.
Yeah. David Njoku really like made a horrible play today, like where he just like he should have come down with the football, and he's like always come up small in those moments. And every time I see those low lights, I'm always reminded of like just a few years ago where people were like, oh, the David Njoku and OJ Howard and Evan Engram, and like the passing tight end is here and it's gonna be a real thing. And it's like, every year, rinse and repeat, right? Like it's and a guy who I really want to bring up is someone who just, I don't know where he was today, is TJ Hawkinson. And I'm actually going to go look this up because I don't have this in our show notes, unfortunately. So this is going to be some great radio for whoever's listening. But
you want to know his stat line?
I do.
Got it up.
No, I mean, I have his stat line, but he has the one target and zero catches and zero receptions.
Yeah.
Oh,
you didn't know if it was zero of everything on one target or on
Yeah, exactly. He's losing share to Amon-Ra St. Brown and Khalif Raymond, right? Here's a guy who they picked in the first round who is, for all intents and purposes, theoretically should have been deployed, like how the Falcons are using Pitts. You don't see that much out of him. He's losing like playing time to these seventh round, like these late round wide receivers. Like, why do teams draft tight end this early if they're not gonna use them correctly?
Right. Yeah. I mean, coming into this game, he had been getting targets. He had been, let's see, last three games, 11, 9, 11 before this one, and then one. So I don't know. I don't have the stat. I mean, the snap numbers, you know, handy. I don't know if he was actually not playing, but I mean, I saw a little bit of this game and he was out there. So I think it's just
ugly
Lions game, running backs were doing.
Yeah,
we're doing some stuff that was pretty good. We got this guy who I've actually never heard of, Godwin Igwebuike, who scored a rushing touchdown.
Yeah,
Jamar Jefferson got a touchdown.
Jamar Jefferson, our boy. He got in there. DeAndre Swift, 33 carries, dude. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Are they trying to kill him?
So, I mean, you had Goff attempting only 25 passes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he honestly didn't look that great when he was throwing. So, maybe Hockenson only getting one target is not something we should actually read too much into. But it's definitely a concern that, you know, that this passing game is not working and they're not even using Hockenson. So,
yeah, I mean, I can see the Lions like basically like backing it in, right, and tanking for the 1-on-1. But like, who would like the best quarterback in this class be, right? Like, it was Spencer Rattler, and he lost his starting job. So yeah. Who, you know, like who could it be? Because there's not particularly. Like, this is a pretty bad year to have that, like, early first-round pick because, like, these are all going to be kind of mediocre quarterbacks, right? Like, I mean, say what you want, but guys like Trevor Lawrence and Baker Mayfield and Justin Fields, they had, like, pristine production profiles coming out.
Yeah. I think that's right. I don't think there's a guy like that in this class. I'm not...
No.
Not following the college prospects as closely as I should be, but... You know, if you get, I mean, it seems like
we need Travis Maybach
anyway.
This is why we need Travis Maybach.
Yeah, right. I mean, it seems like they're going to get the 101 anyway at this point. Like, at this rate, they didn't lose today, but they still haven't won a game. So, you know, maybe trade down and get Uiagalelei.
Yeah, but like, who's gonna who's gonna really trade a lot of assets for that position, for that pick, right?
There's always
the 101 is probably worth less this year than it has been in most recent years. I mean, just ask the Niners.
I can see that. That's probably true. Although there's always teams that will get enamored of some quarterback prospect or some prospect. I don't know. Is Drake London in this class?
You're making
Calvin Johnson,
Drake London.
Oh yeah, USC wide receiver.
I've seen this movie before.
It does look a lot like the Akeem.
He's a sophomore. He's got one more year.
Okay, yeah. It does look like the Akeem Butler. Well, maybe not if he's a sophomore.
No, he's a sophomore. He could be the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
There you go.
Oh.
Is he really? I gotta look that up.
Bane. But speaking of good wide receivers, man, it was nice to see CeeDee Lamb really kind of bounce back today.
You know, he isn't. He's a junior, but he's going to miss the rest of the season with an ankle injury.
Oh, so then he's probably going to come back then. Or he should declare, but he's probably going to come back. This is like a Deebo Samuel situation.
I don't know. I think he's probably done enough this year to be taken in the first round.
But
he's 6'5".
Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore, do they, huh?
Right.
I mean, I guess we were kind of spoiled, right? Because you had Megatron, and then you had Julio and AJ Green. And then, like, all those guys are pristine prospects. Right. And you had, like, Amari, right?
Right.
And you get spoiled after that. So it's very difficult for when you start doing like scouting for like prospect scouting to go back to like a lot of the unknowns that we didn't have, right?
Yeah.
Because those guys check all the boxes.
It's been a long time since we've had a big wide receiver who's also been productive. I mean, like,
what? You mean, but like, it's also fast, right? Like, not just.
Yeah. Big and fast. Big athletic.
Big and fast. Yeah.
Also productive. Right.
Because AJ Brown doesn't cut that because he's not fast. DK Metcalf didn't cut it because he wasn't productive.
Because he wasn't productive. Right. He was the closest. But I mean, like, there's a difference when you're talking a guy who's 6'5 versus AJ Brown, who's what, 6'2?
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, no, I agree. Like, but like, the difference is that, like, I don't know, man. It still goes back to the first time AJ Brown ever got a football on the NFL field where he like stiff arms a safety into the dirt. calls him over and stiff arms him. And that's just like, from that second on, like, you just knew that Corey Davis was never going to be a thing. I don't know, man. But like, it's also like Justin Jefferson, right? Like, he just sort of checked all the boxes except for the speed. And I still remember like Matthew Friedman and Dave Gabin discussing Justin Jefferson and how he like improved from his like 4.88 40 time. And look at him now. He's like one of the best receivers in the league. And he kind of broke out massively today. He caught 9 of his 11 targets for 143 yards. Believe it or not, those 9 catches are how many times he was targeted total the last 2 games.
Wow.
Yeah. The Vikings decided they wanted to actually win.
Yeah, I remember. Well, I didn't realize it was that bad that he had only been targeted 9 times the last 2 games. But yeah, big to see him break out like this. Is this kind of the point at the season in which he's going to really start ascending and Thielen is going to take a real backseat?
I mean, Thielen got there today too, right? The Vikings realized they couldn't take their foot off the gas, and they just kept throwing.
Yeah. So Thielen had 5 catches for 65 yards on 7 targets.
Yeah, he had 7 targets last week too.
Yeah. Thielen did. Right. So, I mean, the whole season it's kind of been Jefferson and Thielen are almost like indistinguishable in terms of their opportunity and expected points even. But so this week, like, there was a big difference, and I'm hoping for all my Jefferson shares that this is something the Vikings want to keep doing.
I think it is, man. Like, I think that's like the biggest issue is that they're just sort of they're not putting the ball in the hands of their best playmaker, right? And Jefferson is very productive on very limited volume, but it doesn't have to be that way. like that's the crazy thing. It doesn't have to be that way, because when you establish Justin Jefferson, it does kind of open up those holes that Thielen is so good at exploiting, right? Like, those, you can then move Thielen into the area where he's comfortable in, those mismatches against the linebackers and the safeties, and just doing what he used to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so weird.
It was Tyler Conklin who got both the touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, and I can't on 2 targets.
But, he had 5 targets. But, Yeah, he wasn't that good. He only got 11 yards. But I guess if you're getting all your targets really close to the end zone, you can't pick up a lot of yards. I mean, you know, it reminds me of back when Stephon Diggs was on the Vikings and he was on all my teams then, and Kyle Rudolph was catching all the touchdowns, also from Kirk Cousins. So, you know, is this something that we're just going to have to get used to and live with when we roster Vikings receivers?
Yeah, sadly. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it goes, man. It's just pain and heartbreak there, right?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? you need Indeed.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Speaking of Stephon Diggs, like it took the Bills forever to remember that he was on the team, and they finally let him loose today, right?
Yeah.
You know, he did really well. You know, he had 13 targets. He got 8 of them for 162 yards and a score. Nobody else came close to it. so it's just. I mean, they finally realized Sanders. You can't split Sanders and Diggs' workload. You can't give him the same amount of targets. You can't give Cole Beasley 7 targets and expect to win.
Yeah.
And man, the Bills were not gonna lose to the Jags. They should have lost to the Dolphins. Like realistically, like the Bills, after having that hot stretch early, should have lost out like these last few games since like that L to the Titans. So good to see them figure it out. Good to see that they remembered that that Stephon Diggs is around and he's good at football. I mean, you got to hope that they kind of keep it going, right? I mean, to be fair.
I mean, yeah, you hope that they keep it going. A lot of their points in this one. Well, actually, I didn't see this whole game, but I mean, when you put up 45 points and you win that decisively, you would hope that they kind of stick with that game plan. And I mean, you know, Diggs caught a touchdown, Breida caught a touchdown, but it wasn't like they were passing a lot. Josh Allen only threw 28 passes. So I guess the one concern is that even though Diggs got his targets, he got almost half of the passes that Josh Allen threw. So that's not super sustainable. And you just hope that the Bills will keep playing up tempo, you know, more than they did today, even though they put up 45 points.
Yeah, and I'm making it sound a lot worse than it should be for Diggs. He is like one of the leading the league in targets. It's just nice to see him turn those targets into something else, you know? Mm. Like it's nice to get this reminder that he's still here and he's still good. Yeah. Speaking of still being here and still being good, Christian McCaffrey returned. He rushed 13 times for 95 yards, and he caught 10 targets, dude. 10 for 66 yards as the Panthers curb stomped the Cardinals. This usage is a little ridiculous for a guy who, you know, had a short injury scare. You know, what do you think? Well, one, why do you think the Panthers continue to run him and play him despite them being so far up? You know, instead of handing it off to Chuba Hubbard. And two, like, are the Panthers a lot better now that like the Darnold era is pretty much over?
Yeah, it kind of seems like it. It's maybe a little misleading because the tail end of the Darnold era overlapped with a lot of games that McCaffrey missed, right? And it's hard to say that having a weapon like that not on the field doesn't make a difference. I mean, McCaffrey only had 13 carries. They also gave 9 to Hubbard and 9 to Amir Abdullah. So it's I did not watch the end of this game to know how those touches were split. I know last week they targeted Abdullah a lot in the fourth quarter when the game was already over. So it might be the same sort of thing, that Abdullah was in the game at the end and after it was already pretty much decided. But I mean, this is obviously, you love to see this kind of usage from McCaffrey. Even without the touchdown, he still had a really good game. Yeah, I'm really interested in this game because it also is Cam Newton's reunion with the Panthers, and he was like not awful in this game. I mean, he was only in for a little bit, but I think
he was awful
on both of Okay, he was awful.
He was terrible, dude.
Well, he only attempted 4 passes.
Yeah, 8 yards. 8 yards.
Yeah, like, okay.
Like, realistically,
he was terrible, but the Panthers scored on the first 2 drives that he was in for.
I think what really is interesting about having Cam back is how much he means to this team just as a person, right? Like, and this is where you cannot quantify this stuff, but locker room presence is real.
Yeah.
You know, like being a veteran leader, I'll tell you, is real. Like, Cam is beloved by the organization, the fans, and the team, you know? Last week there were like images of like Robbie Anderson screaming at Darnold to get his head out of his butt, right? And that's like kind of what he was saying to him.
Yeah.
You know, he's like all smiles today with like Cam. And to be clear, Robbie's having an abysmal season. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and like, I think I do think that this is psychologically kind of almost like a turning point for them, I think, which is interesting to say. PJ Walker also played better. I mean, like,
yeah,
I really think that that this, like, you know, as cliche and narrative driven as it sounds, it is going to be interesting to see like what the Panthers look like now that they've decided to sunset Sam Darnold.
Right.
I mean, the team has been floundering at quarterback. They decided they wanted to move on from Bridgewater. They did so. They paid up to get Darnold. You know, they decided to pass on Justin Fields. And it, you know, a guy we were talking about before the show started, because Justin Fields is showing everything you want from a future NFL star. And, you know, it was very curious that they passed on him. So interested to see how the Panthers hold it all together going down. I mean, like, again, this was an easy win, right? Like, let's get real. Like, the Cardinals did not come to play. Okay, they threw out the same team that beat the Niners, and they got completely curb stomped.
Yeah,
right. Like it just brings to.
Well, no, it doesn't help when your quarterback for part of the game is something called a Chris Streveler.
Yeah, that's because something called a Colt McCoy wasn't doing particularly well.
I think McCoy got hurt and Streveler came in, but still,
I mean,
neither of them were good.
Yeah, but it's just like this is the same team that like took the Niners to the woodshed last week, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, Carolina is a team where, you know, Darnold is done in Carolina, basically.
His career, Walker, might be done, poor guy.
Yeah, PJ Walker is terrible. Cam Newton is terrible, right? I mean.
This version of Cam is terrible.
Yeah.
Like I'm just really worried for the poor guy and his shoulder and.
Right. So like, this is a team that even in a weak quarterback class, you could see taking a guy like, who's the guy who's actually North Carolina's quarterback now?
Is that Sam Howell?
Yeah. Sam Howell. Like Howell might be better than anyone who's currently on the Panthers roster already.
They should take Kenny Pickett. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, there are a lot of guys who you can see this team thinking, well, I mean, this is an improvement.
Yeah, but I mean, neither of those guys are as good as Fields.
Well, right, maybe.
At least in my opinion. I
mean, yeah. You know, like with the Lions, you have a lot of holes at wide receiver. You have a lot of other problems to solve. Carolina looks like a team where you've got these weapons. You've got McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Terrace Marshall Jr. might still be good.
No, he's not. He's not good. Let's just stop that. Robbie Anderson is good. Terrace Marshall is not good.
Very well. Well, in any case, and they've also, you know, drafted a lot of defensive guys who look pretty good over the last few years. So it's like, this is a team that just needs a quarterback and they could be competitive.
Yeah, especially in their division, because their division's kind of in the middle of rediscovering itself, right? Like, all of a sudden, like the Buccaneers look very, very mortal.
Yeah.
Like, they look very, very mortal.
Yeah, we should talk about that game, because that was interesting. I mean, it was always, I think, kind of a concern that Tampa Bay had so many injuries coming into this game. Godwin was questionable. He ended up playing, but, you know,
He ended up doing pretty well with his eight. He got eight targets. Leonard Fournette got nine.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. Tyler Johnson is someone who we really liked as a college player, and, you know, now he's coming in and not being that good, which maybe wasn't a surprise after he decided to stay for his senior year. But I mean, when he is one of your starting wide receivers, that's a problem even for a Tom Brady team, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of this goes just on like, where was Mike Evans? Right.
Yeah.
Like he seems to always come up really, really small in these very, very big moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Like this is like pretty much like no Gronk, no AB, Godwin's dealing with something. Like this sets up like Mike Evans is going to get 11 targets and turn it into like 9 catches, 152 yards and a score, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he did get the score, but only 3 targets. You would have expected a lot more when Tampa Bay has so many guys hurt. So
Yeah,
that's puzzling.
And it was like this before the bye week too.
Yeah. Yeah. Now Washington's defense coming into the season was getting a lot of hype and they haven't looked really that good. And I don't know how much of Tampa Bay's struggles we can actually say are because of anything Washington did on defense.
I don't know, man.
Chase Young got hurt in this game and probably has torn his ACL. So that obviously changes up things. But after this game, well, I mean, I don't know. It's so hard to speculate on the quality of defensive units and whether Washington is the team we want to try to avoid.
Yeah, but I mean, there were a lot of injuries here. I mean, like the turf really was, it was kind of, it really was everything that people have said about FedEx Fields is turf. It kind of just sort of came true, man. Right? Mm-hmm. Like we saw Chase Young tear his ACL. Like they've been like, Ricky Seals-Jones had to exit. Like, I mean, I don't know.
So, speaking of torn ACLs, Robert Woods is out for the season.
Yeah.
Rams signed Odell Beckham, and it sounds like he's going to play on Monday. This is not a game that happened today, but I do want to get your thoughts on Odell Beckham to the Rams.
I mean, this is kind of it, right? Like if you for some reason are still clinging to if Odell doesn't produce here, then when? Right? We've seen high profile wide receivers change teams and just sort of pick up where they left off. Odell hasn't been the same guy he was early on. He's changed teams and been worse. Mm-hmm. They just lost Robert Woods. Even if he's somehow behind, and it's okay if he's behind Van Jefferson and stuff to start, but like you expect someone of the caliber of OBJ to overtake guys like Van Jefferson and Higbee and everybody else and sort of, you know, maybe take on more of that D-Jax role. But the issue was he wasn't happy with that D-Jax role when he was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So what's his call? Like he wants to be more of a possession guy, but what's his calling card now?
Yeah.
I mean, like, if he's like going to be not catching the football with, you know, Matt Stafford throwing on the ball, if you're an OBJ defender, where do you go from there? Right. Honestly, it's a question I have for you. What do you blame it on? Cause you can't really blame it on changing teams anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're starting to build up some evidence that elite wide receivers are elite. Like, yeah. it doesn't matter who's throwing them the football.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely right. I mean, we saw DeAndre Hopkins change teams and
he was Stephon Diggs.
He was great. Diggs changed teams and was great. Amari Cooper has been able to do it successfully. For the most part, you know, the data seems to show that wide receivers changing teams get worse. Well, but it's biased, of course, because wide receivers who are changing teams are wide receivers that the original team usually didn't want anymore because probably they are having some decline in skill. And wide receivers changing teams tend not to be the elite wide receivers that, you know, teams want to pay a lot of money for.
Yeah, you never see guys like OBJ traded, right? Like they're franchise cornerstones. Mm-hmm. It's kind of why I'm starting to really worry a lot about Juju. Right? Like it might be a Juju specific issue.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he could be like that OBJ-esque, had a very good first few seasons and then that's it.
Yeah, and especially coming off of injury now, never a good sign. So,
yeah, and the other guy who we probably haven't talked about yet and we're still waiting on is Will Fuller at Miami. Right? Because we haven't seen him much at all, but I think he played a little bit earlier this year and he did pretty well in the one or two games.
I can't remember if he actually ever even played a full game.
No, he did not. He hasn't done anything. My God.
Yeah, okay. I remember, he was I don't even want to, I'm going to misremember it, so I don't want to say.
No, but there's rumors he's on the way out anyway, that he's contemplating retirement.
Yeah. Disappointing career to be sure, especially since when he was healthy, he looked great for the most part. Mm-hmm. So,
A guy I did want to get your thoughts on here, and speaking of, you know, injured knees and knee ligaments, is it, Aaron Jones had a really bad injury.
Mm.
They fear that he sprained his MCL. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's pretty much AJ Dillon time, right? He's just got a sprained MCL. Who knows how long he's going to be out there, you know, out for. Like AJ Dillon, now or never. I will admit I am going to lose a matchup because I didn't start AJ Dillon. Okay. I started I think Boston Scott and Alex Collins.
Yeah,
I mean, I deserve that loss, you know. I mean, I earned that.
Anytime you're starting Boston Scott and Alex Collins, you probably.
Yeah, I think I left
your life choices.
Yeah, I left 30 points on the bench. Just
I mean, Dylan obviously has looked really good a lot of the time when he's been out there. He wasn't super efficient today, apart from the two touchdowns. But I think the one thing that's most surprising about, or maybe not even surprising, because we kind of have been saying this all along. But the Packers have been using him to catch passes way more than he did at Boston College. And that's something that we kind of suspected he might be good at. Like at Boston College, he didn't catch a lot of passes, but when he did, he was efficient with them. So it's a skill.
Is it the Melvin Gordon conundrum, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of guys who are like this. I think LaDainian Tomlinson hardly caught passes in college. I want to say Jamal Charles might have been that way too, but not obviously Dylan is not that caliber of talent, maybe. But
no. I mean, JC is a different level, right? But I do know what you're saying.
But Dylan might be better at catching passes than Derrick Henry, for instance, even though he's just as big and athletic.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? Like it's just one of those. Things, you know, I mean, and it's kind of why I call it the Melvin Gordon conundrum, if only because people have it in their heads from Gordon's rookie year, because Danny Woodhead was a pass catching guy, mm-hmm. and then it was Austin Eckler that Melgo can't do it. But when those two guys sort of missed time, they had no issues with checking down to Melgo. Right. I mean, some offenses just don't prioritize a running back.
Right.
Nothing wrong. I mean, frankly, there's nothing wrong with it. It should kind of be what you should be doing anyway. You have high expected points throwing without the football down the field. I did want to get your thoughts a little bit on a possible fraud player in Courtland Sutton. you know, he's only seen three targets per game since Jerry in games that Jerry Jeudy plays.
Yeah.
And like Jeudy like out targets him by quite a bit. Is this like a quarterback issue? Because that would imply that it was also the same split. Well, I guess we don't have much of a split last year because he had the ACL issue. But is this like, is this like, what's his name? Bridgewater just making sure that, you know, like Judy's his primary read? Or is it like Courtland Sutton might be a potential fraud? What's the story?
Bridgewater has never been a guy who's thrown it deep a lot. So it might be sort of thing where when Jeudy, who's more of an underneath target, is there and he's getting open, then Bridgewater can find him. And when he's not there, he has to take more chances and throw it deep to Sutton, who's got more of that deep role. It's just one game. Although, I mean, look at Sutton's game log.
Oh my God, yeah. That's sadness, man.
He hasn't had more than five targets since for the last 4 weeks he hasn't had more than five targets.
Yeah.
Was Bridgewater the quarterback for all of those games though? I don't think so. I can't really remember, but yeah, I think definitely it does appear that Sutton has taken a backseat to Jeudy, and that's kind of what we expected coming into the season. So it's not a huge surprise for me. I think it's probably hard in this offense for both Jeudy and Sutton to have value on a week-to-week basis, although I think you'll still have some games where Sutton will catch a long touchdown and be the guy you wish you had played in DFS or something.
I wonder if next year Sutton reemerges as like the Cooper Kupp kind of value in the early rounds.
Because
he's going to be a year off that ACL tear too, and if they upgrade a quarterback somehow, then you're really kind of cooking, right? But like, that's such a weird thing to say considering Woods and Kupp were going back to back, and when Kupp was healthy, you really kind of wanted him anyway. Like there was a lot to suggest Woods was kind of dusted last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what's more likely to happen if they upgrade a quarterback is that you're going to see Jeudy take another step forward and separate even more from Sutton. Because, he's the guy who's, number one, he's younger. He's probably better talent. So it's just, if I'm looking at this, I'm kind of saying, is this the beginning of the end for Sutton? And I don't know if I'm ready to say, yeah, for sure it is, but I'm definitely have those questions.
I am interested because it's like Tim Patrick has been like a thorn in everyone's side, but then also you're getting usage for both Noah Fan and Albert right? Because they both do steal, like they don't steal, like they take away a pretty significant chunk of the target share and they do quite a lot with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing, that it wasn't only that Sutton took a backseat to Jeudy, it's that Sutton also didn't have as many targets as Patrick or even as many as Melvin Gordon. So,
yeah, that's where it gets really iffy. Mm. And that's probably why we need to probably start watching Broncos games.
Right. Yeah, part of this, I think, probably is Bridgewater because he's not going to take those shots as often as another quarterback would. Although he's like the numbers actually show he's not a bad deep ball passer.
No,
he just doesn't do it often.
No, he hasn't had to, right? He doesn't want to for some odd reason. I did want to go back to that Seattle Green Bay game because, man, Russell Wilson looks bad. Did he have his finger amputated? What was up with that?
Yeah, man. I don't know. That was, I don't know if he,
like, all the targets came in like the last drive. On the last drive. I don't know, man.
I mean, the one thing that, like, if I'm trying to take a positive away from this, Gerald Everett caught all 8 of his targets for 63 yards.
Yeah.
So he might be emerging.
Yeah, might be someone we got to get on waivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in an FFPC league, if you are even a little bit tight end needy, or maybe even if you're not, because it's a pretty fragile position, I think Everett is a top priority.
We are because Mo Alley Cox has not panned out the way we thought he would.
Yeah, what exactly were we thinking?
I don't know, man. I'm gonna check and see if he's even available, because I know that these jackals love their tight ends. Oh, he is available. So I mean, it's just the way to do it, right? Because, like, behind Lockett and Metcalf, there's really no one. And I mean, honestly, at this point, it's kind of just behind Metcalf, there's no one. We did see a handful of really big games from Lockett, but, you know, it was back to disappearing season again. I mean, this is like one of those games that you sort of have to put on ice a little bit, if that makes sense, just because they just look so bad. Russ in his first game back, but man, I mean, the Seahawks have just looked this bad in general. Like, they would have gotten the same result had they trotted Geno Smith out there, right? Like, and there's a real possibility Kyler returns next week against the Seahawks. I really don't know if this team is ready to take on the Cards or the Rams. Like, they just, like, these guys have to figure it out quick because they're not making the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess you hope that this is just kind of a 1 week thing. Wilson's returning from injury. He's still not 100%, and he'll be getting better, you know, as the season keeps going on. But still, I mean, even a little bit better than what he was today is not good. So you hope that he gets a lot better in a hurry if you're rostering any of these Seattle guys.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
We talked. You mentioned Indianapolis a bit. You mentioned Mo Alley Cox, who's been so bad. But yeah, then I thought about Indianapolis. Interesting game today. Jonathan Taylor was
a
beast as always, and he even led the team in targets. He only had 10 receiving yards. But I mean, you know,
yeah. Coleman Sean took our bit.
What's that?
Coleman Sean took our bit when we were ahead of the curve and we said CMC should have been the RB1 in Dynasty. Uh-huh. They were the ones who adjusted JT up as the RB1 in Dynasty pretty quick.
Yeah. I can't remember. The first time I did rankings, Dynasty rankings this summer, I had Jonathan Taylor as the overall number one player. But then I was like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah, above CMC, right? Down. It's tough. Probably, it's tough, man.
Yeah, you got to go against consensus a little bit, but when you do it and the consensus is on a guy like CMC, then you're like, maybe I'm
wrong on this. Yeah, like that's one where I just don't want to go against the wisdom of the crowds, man. Like, it's still CMC, you know?
Yeah, that's a question worth talking about, right? I mean, next year, which of these guys would you rather have if you were in a dynasty startup right now with the 101? Would you still take CMC or would you take Taylor?
No, I think you'd have to take Taylor, man.
I mean, CMC had 10 targets today without the, you know, he didn't get the touchdown, and Taylor's 8 targets are probably the most he's had all season. Maybe the most he's had in his career. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look at that. But I guess the question is this kind of role sustainable for Taylor? Or is it kind of an aberration?
I think it's sustainable. The big play is not as much, but yeah, the volume, definitely.
Yeah.
It's an interesting team to have in Indianapolis. It's almost like it's almost like the Titans in a sense, right?
Explain.
Like you got your serviceable veteran quarterback in Carson Palmer. You have your big dog running back in Jonathan Taylor. You have your, I guess they weren't really known for pass catching running backs.
Oh man, I was waiting for you to make a Michael Pittman, AJ Brown.
Michael Pittman, AJ Brown. Yeah, you got like a. And calling him a homeless man's version of AJ Brown is also almost too kind, but that's kind of what you got with Pittman. And then, you know, just a bunch of odds and ends. I mean, it's not like the Titans didn't do it today without a bunch of odds and ends. Something called Marcus Johnson went off. You know, six catches, six targets, five wrecks, 100 yards. What is Marcus Johnson?
Marcus Johnson is a name that is vaguely familiar to me, but I don't have any information at hand to give you about him. He is a football player who had 100 receiving yards today.
There is like... this is sad because we don't even have him in our... like we never even wrote like a sleeper article on him.
Really?
Yeah.
He probably... let me pull up.
I'm pulling up the prospect box score, Scott. I'm sorry this is really boring radio for everyone, but now I'm curious what we've got him as our best Sims. because I know that like Aimir season.
Right. Right. Fifth season out of Texas.
He was an early declare. Why weren't we on him?
I think that probably he came out before a lot of our research on early declares was widely known. I think the only people who
he ever broke out, though.
That could be it, too.
He was also a UDFA.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, there's some... I mean, and wide receiver especially, the UDFAs who go on to have success are pretty rare.
The Sims for him is like a who's who of I've never heard of players.
Yeah. So I mean, even though he was an early declare, like at that time, not many people were paying attention to that. And he didn't break out, he didn't get draft capital. So it would have been hard to make a very serious case for him as a sleeper, because he just didn't have a lot of, you know, he didn't have the profile, really.
But what to say about that Des Fitzpatrick guy that, like, he couldn't beat this guy out?
Yeah. Yeah. What's it say about a lot of these guys that are on the Titans roster?
Well, but honestly, what does it say about us? What does it say about us? Because we really, like, why do we know the names of, like, you know, late round rookie wide receiver picks who have yet to do anything, including preseason, and we're sitting here waiting for them? Truly a success.
I don't know. Yeah.
This is why we play. This is why you got to love it, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's a good question, but at the same time, like, what signals were there on Johnson even coming into this week besides the fact that, I mean, I don't know, Julio Jones might not play.
Yeah, no, and even then, you're gravitating towards Westbrook Akeen, I can't pronounce his name, or right. Chester Rogers, or even Joff Swaim, or Michael Pruitt.
Right. I mean, I'd want to look back at, like, some of the peripherals, but even, like, we have guys writing up the routes run and all the advanced stats, and Marcus Johnson, I just didn't read his name at all this week, so I don't think he was popping in those.
I don't think he's doing much of anything, right?
I think this is just kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, No, I think you're right. It's a bit like this was a bit of one of those out of nowhere games because Tre'Quan Smith also caught a touchdown. right? Like, it's been probably, depending on who you are and how your teams look, it's probably been a frustrating couple of weeks in the league, but it's been genuinely very fun, I think, from an unpredictability standpoint and from a football fan standpoint. And we probably got a little spoiled with all the offensive scoring that there was last year, right? Like this is kind of what football looks like.
Hey, look, I'm seeing, you know, Benjamin get a lot of carries over the last couple weeks. I'm happy.
I was going to talk to you about that, right? Because like James Conner was just supposed to take it and run. And I think we victory lapped that a little too early. He saw a lot of work in the receiving game. So, like, how much are you taking away from the fact that this was the Chris Treveller game?
Yeah, it's tricky. This is just a weird game. I think, next week they probably have Kyler back. They might have DeAndre Hopkins back as well. So things could look a lot different. If they're moving the ball more, then you probably see them run the ball a little more. If they're able to put up points, they probably use Connor more near the goal line, and maybe Benjamin works in a little bit too. So I would think that with Kyler and Hopkins back next week, we'll see even more from the running backs. Yeah, I'm not putting much stock in this game when you've got Colt McCoy and Chris Treveller at quarterback and no Hopkins. That's, you can't really expect much from that sort of game.
I was curious. Were you nervous at all about Austin Ekeler and like his kind of wacko role these days?
It was pretty...
Sorry, not role, production.
It's production, yeah. I mean, I was optimistic on Ekeler coming into the week.
So was I.
I thought he would have a pretty good game. And I mean, he wasn't good, but he did get 6 targets still. He still had 11 carries, so it's gonna look like a decent game from an opportunity standpoint. And I think you just gotta keep plugging him in there, keep starting him, and eventually the efficiency is going to turn around, because we know he's talented, we know he's good, and we know that this offense can put up points. So I guess the weirder thing about, well, not only this offense and their usage, is how kind of, you know, Mike Williams at the beginning of the season was the focal point, almost. Like, there was, I think week 5 he had 15 targets. And since then, he's probably had maybe 5 or less in every game. He had 6 today. Keenan Allen had 11 targets. So, yeah, I don't know. Is that shift away from Mike Williams at all a concern? Like, that kind of shift in offensive philosophy has kind of coincided maybe with this poor stretch from Ekeler. I don't know what to make of that.
That's a good question. And honestly, I don't know, because it's just back to Keenan. I mean, Ekeler is still seeing volume. He's just not doing much with it, right? It's not like his volume is dried up. We're just seeing Keenan do a lot more. And I think this is probably has to do with the fact that Mike Williams might actually be injured, or at least he's playing through something.
Right.
Because Keenan's just sort of back to that target hog status that we didn't see from him to start the season. Kind of why you were drafting him where you were drafting him.
Yeah, so Mike Williams, he had 6 today, and then the 3 games before that, 5-5-5 in every game. And those are also games in which, you know, have to add it up, but Los Angeles is 1-3. No, yeah, 1-3 over the last 4 games, including a bad loss at Baltimore. So I don't know. Does Mike Williams help this team win in ways that would benefit Ekeler? Probably. And I think you're probably right about him dealing with some injury. But
Yeah, but also I just think that they, I don't know, man. I'm not gonna say that they wasted time or whatever. Like they just felt like their defense kept coming up small against the Vikes. Yeah. Right. And that's where it gets interesting, because this is supposed to be a good defense, theoretically on paper it is.
Yeah.
But then they just cannot, like, they can't buy a stop. So
they have allowed at least 27 points in every game since week 3. The Chargers.
Oh.
So maybe they're not that good.
I was about to ask you about a potential fraud player in Bryan Edwards, but he just scored a long touchdown. I still think he's fraudulent. You know, one highlight play on an island game does not a star player make.
Yeah.
But I had the under on his receiving yards, and that killed it. So
bummer. Yeah, I mean, he's someone who, you know, I think he was pretty popular as a prospect on Twitter, and someone that we kind of were more skeptical of, since he is actually a late breakout and did not declare early. And for most of his NFL career, he has not looked that good. Although I remember in their game against Baltimore, he made some big plays. And sounds like he's making some big plays now. I thought,
He's ruining my bankroll.
Yeah, right. I thought that after Ruggs was released, that he would probably have an opportunity to get some more targets and to make more of these big plays. And so maybe we'll still see that come to fruition. I'm not ready to say I was wrong on him, you know, yet, but
I've been wrong. No, man. I mean, yeah, we've been wrong before, but at the same time, like, if it's like one big play every like 5 games, is it really like was it really worth like the kind of adulation he was getting on Twitter?
Yeah, right. Right.
I don't think so, you know.
Right. All right, on that note, I think we'll call it a night. So yeah, no guest tonight, but it was a good conversation, I thought. Anyway, any final words before we get out of here?
No, none. If you guys really did enjoy this format, please tweet at us at Am I the Real Blair and at HR5010 and let us know. You know, we're trying to fill up the calendar with some guests. But if you did enjoy just listening to us banter about, let us know and we can try to do another one of these before the season's out.
For sure. And also remember to subscribe and like the video and rate us on iTunes and everything that you're supposed to do for podcast/live streams that you enjoy watching and listening to.
Yeah, or download us on Spotify.
There you go. That's what it is. All right. Well, for Hassan Rahim, I'm Blair Andrews. Thanks for tuning in.